I think just before I start, maybe if I can just open in prayer quickly. But yeah, Father God, I just thank you so much for this word that you placed on my heart this week, Lord. Lord, you know that this was not necessarily where I wanted to be, but yeah, you just gave me a word, and I pray that tonight, as much as it's not coming from me, I just pray that it's a word for fathers out there and for parents out there, Lord. It's specifically targeted at fathers, but it's definitely there for mothers and anyone that's a parent figure. So I pray that you just be with this word and let it sink into people's hearts. I pray for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, so my message tonight is we as dads can either be an example or a warning to our kids. And so Andre introduced me. Yeah, I surf a bit, but I also have the opportunity, I'm married to Sam, amazing woman, and I have the opportunity of raising three amazing kids. I probably don't say it enough to them, but they are actually amazing. I'm probably embarrassing them. They're with us tonight, but yeah. And so I guess I was going to ask the question, how many of you are dads? And now I know there's lots of dads here tonight. And you probably agree, like none of us actually got a manual when we became a parent, right? It's not like one of our kids arrived as a parent and we got to do these 10 things and we become the most amazing parent ever, right? So like, how do we do it? We do it by looking at people. We look around and we see different people and we decide to sort of onboard the values that we think that we are important, and the values that we think are not so great, we offboard them, we chuck them away, okay? And so this sort of value that I kind of took into my life is something I'll never forget. Sam's uncle, he was like in his 50s, his late 50s, and I met him for the first time. And he was diving around the grass playing rugby with his kids, and I was like, I want to be like that dad. That is something, I want to be a playful dad. I want to be at 58, I want to be tackling my kids on the grass and playing around with them and being like that. I don't want to be a standoff, I want to be a hands-on playful dad. And so this week, while I was driving around, I think I was doing the kiddie run, and I heard three different people call into the radio, and I kind of like heard these three different people. They were talking about what they want for Father's Day as a gift, and I took sort of aspects out of that, and I'll just share them with you quickly. So the first dad said that for Father's Day, he wants hugs from his kids. That's all he wants. He just wants hugs. So like I was like, okay, well, that's really cool, and like maybe he's a dad like me that likes a lot of affection, or maybe his kids are just so distant he actually wants them back. He wants them closer to him, okay? So I was like, took that on. And then the second dad that called in, it was rather a strange one, but I digged it as well. He said he wanted 200 pieces of Rooikrans wood. Now, for those of you who don't know what Rooikrans wood is, it's like the Mercedes-Benz of briarwood, and it gives off a lovely smell. So, you know, like I was like, this guy obviously wants to serve his family, he wants to cook food, he's got like such an amazing servant heart. I can resonate with that guy. And the last dad that phoned in, and I think this dad just wanted to escape from everybody, he said he wanted something electronic, either a PlayStation, and CJ's up there, or an amp and a guitar. He wanted that, and I figured it probably was CJ. And he was like, you know, obviously wanting to get away from his kids, and depending on how well he played the guitar, they would have got away from him. But you can see from those sort of three characteristics, there are three different types of dads that kind of had different roles and whatever in them. And I'm sure that some of the dads in here can definitely align with those wants or gifts that they got. Maybe you even got them for Father's Day. I hope you did get the hugs. Okay? But for me, and I'll be honest here, sorry, I'm racing through this because I can see the buzzer going down and I think I'm going to go over. For me, my experience was very different. Okay? So when I was about 1 or 2 years old, my parents got divorced. So I didn't really know my dad at all. I think probably when I was about 12 years old, my dad kind of started showing an interest in me again. And then my mother died when I was 14, so I had to get to know my dad. I kind of got thrown into that relationship. So you would imagine me coming into this role of a father with my kids, I had no idea what father was about. And if I'd brought those values in, I probably wouldn't have been I won't say a great father, but I would have had a very sort of skewed view. And don't get me wrong, I love my dad and I have an amazing father-in-law. I think he's trying to find the Facebook thing to watch this tonight as well, so I had to say that. But I think what I decided was, based on my history, that I wouldn't let that define me as a dad. Like, I wouldn't let all that baggage that I brought along define me as how I was going to raise my kids. And I decided, like, I'd actually actively seek for the right things, okay? One of the things, as I said, I wanted to be a hands-on dad. But, like, what does that mean? And as Andre spoke about this morning, and I thought this dovetailed quite well into his message, if we are looking at other people, we have the danger of starting to feel the pressure of comparison. Like, I'm not good enough. I need to be like that dad. I'm going to be in aisle 4, but actually I should be in aisle 15. I've been called to aisle 15, but I'm in aisle 4. And there's a danger of having that danger of comparison. And so, like, I found that the only way that I could actually really become a really good God, a good father, is to start to work on my relationship with God. And how did I do that? Like, geez, I don't know. Like, what is the only way I could do it was by reading the Bible. And by reading the Bible, like, God started to speak to me and say to me, these are some of the characteristics that that are important and that you should focus on, right? And don't get me wrong, I blow it often. My kids will probably be the first people shouting at me and saying, Dad, you're like, ah, but, and I'd say, well, I've got the Wi-Fi password, so, like, I suck it up, right? But I'm human, so I do strive for these things, but there's three characteristics that I'm going to try and get through very quickly, and actually Sam reminded me that quite a lot of them are actually what was mentioned for Andre's video, so I thought that was pretty cool as well. But the first characteristic that I took out of everything, out of spending time with God, is the characteristic of love. Okay, I had a friend, another friend, let's call them John and Jane, and they were going to have kids, kind of the first kid the same time as us, and he kept putting off having kids, and we were like, oh, I said to him, like, what's the problem? Why don't you want to have kids? And he said to me, no, he will only have kids when he has enough money to be able to buy the kids the stuff that the kid will want. So he said he wanted a motorbike and he wanted this as a kid, and he's not going to have kids until he can have that amount of money. I said to him, you know what, like, kids don't want that. For sure they'll bug you about toys, they'll bug you about stuff like that, but actually what they want is they want your love and they want your time. And like, for us as a family, the most, and please don't think I'm putting my family on the pedestal, but for us the most special times are when we're walking along on the beach, throwing stones in the water and just spending time together. Like, that costs you nothing, right? And so in John, 1 John 4, it says, we love because God loves. It's not that we, you know, that we have some super special thing and that we're entrusted with these kids that we have to do it. It's like we actually just love them. That's what we do as parents. And so that's definitely a value that I've onboarded. And I also realized that actually there's 5 love languages. And I'm just super blessed that 3 of my kids love the same love language as me. So I just have to work on Sam and then we'll be all sorted, okay? And the second value that I took on is building relationship by spending time together, right? I clearly remember when my oldest child, I said I'm gonna embarrass her, she was 3 years old, and Sam and I were like in that baby phase. We were bombed, and we were sleeping, talking to each other in the kitchen the one night or the one morning, and we were just really trying to survive in those young years. And we just got to that stage, we were like, whoa, she's being way too quiet in her bedroom. And we said to her, what are you doing? Are you okay? And she said, no, I'm not drawing on the walls. And we were like, but we never said you were drawing. Like, that wasn't even the first thing in our mind, right? But like, actually having that relationship is such a critical thing, and building on that relationship and having time together, right? So yeah, we need to make time to work on those relationships. In the same way, as Andre said earlier, if we're not spending time in the mornings building on our relationship with God, it's going to become very easy for us not just to become disconnected from God, but actually to become disconnected from our family. So in the same way, we need to build on that whole connection the whole time by spending God's time together. Oh, I've got 22 seconds. Okay, the third point is we need to be consistent. I've heard it said before that we as Christians are the only Bible that a lot of people will ever read in their lives. So we're on a pedestal. As much as we don't think it, and what we don't put ourselves on the pedestal, but people are always wanting to judge Christians, right? And in Malachi 3, God says, for I, the Lord, do not change. And in the same way, we need to be Christians. We can't be wishy-washy. We can't be at church on a Sunday and a totally different person during the week. And that is the time. So, we need to remember to bring our families and our situations to God consistently in prayer. And the final thought that I have is, what sort of legacy do you want to leave for your kids? Do you want to have a dad legacy of example or one of warning?
Okay, how's everyone doing? Okay, my time hasn't started, so I'm doing good. Cool. Mask off. Should we open up in prayer? Cool. You guys can grab a seat. Half, everyone's. All right. Father, I just want to thank you for this time, Lord. God, I pray that you will put me aside, Father, and that you will speak through me, God. God, I just want to thank you for this amazing morning that we had, Lord, in your house, God. God, I pray for tonight, God. I pray for each and every speaker, God. I pray for Uncle Frank as he comes up as well. Lord God, I pray that you remove us, Lord, and that you soften everyone's hearts tonight, Lord, so that a seed can be planted, Father, and that they can be a step closer to growing their relationship with you, Father. So I want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do tonight. I pray this in your precious name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Cool. First thing I quickly want to find out. I'm a very interactive guy, so I need you guys to like interact with me. I want to know, right? Who has a sibling and your parents have compared you to that sibling? Yeah? Okay, all right. That's quite a few hands. Okay. I had a cousin who was incredibly smart. Incredibly, incredibly smart. He's like studying civil engineering. I'm studying theology. I'm smart as well. I reckon I have the advantage here. I've got the eternal advantage. But I was always compared to him. So whenever he would come to my family, it was always, oh, Sabelo, but look, Marks, he's killing it. Look, what are you doing? Like sports is the way to go. I love going to his house though, because every time I get there, his family would be like, hey, what are you doing with your life? Look at everything that Sabelo's doing. And I'm like, yes, I was clearly meant to be in this family. But, okay, here's another question. Who of you have been compared to someone that you look up to? Ooh, Guile, Sam, yeah? That's amazing, right? It feels good. But isn't it crazy how we're always comparing? We're always comparing. But the crazier thing is that the people that we're comparing ourselves to are comparing themselves to other people. And those people comparing themselves to other people. And those people comparing themselves to other people. And then we just live in a cycle of a world where everyone is just comparing everyone and everyone's trying to be everyone. So I'm gonna quickly dive into this, into 1 Samuel, and here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna compare. So we're gonna compare two kings. We're gonna compare King Saul and we're gonna compare King David. Right, are you guys with me? Cool. So in Samuel 1, 9, verse 15, it says, I don't know, did we manage to get those? We didn't. Okay, it's all good. First Samuel 9:15, it says, the day before Saul came, the Lord had told Samuel, I've seen how my people are suffering, and I've heard their call for help. About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from a tribe of Benjamin who will rescue my people from the Philistines. I want you to pour olive oil on his head to show that he will be their leader. Okay, cool. So we've got a man, Saul, right? Everyone with me? King Saul. Cool. Anointed by God. That's his name. He's calling to lead God's people. I'm going to quickly crash course this because of time. Oh my word, it's flying. But Saul went on to then lead God's people. The beginning stages of his leadership, he was really obedient to God. He was really listening from God, and he was doing as God was telling him to do. But then, as time went on, he gained more power and he gained more influence. And he started actually listening to a lot more of what the people were saying than obeying God. And he still believed in God and everything, but he wasn't necessarily obeying God. And then actually, if we turn over to Samuel 15, verse 22, Samuel says to Saul, hey, tell me, Samuel said, does the Lord really want sacrifices and offerings? No, he doesn't want your sacrifices. He wants you to obey him. I think that's a word for all of us now, hey? God doesn't want your sacrifice and your offering. Yes, give it to him because it's not yours to begin with. But actually, he wants you to obey him. So eventually, God got fed up with Saul and he chose a new king. King David. And we see this in 1 Samuel 16, verse 12. All right? It says, 1 Samuel 16, verse 12, Jesse sent for David. He was a healthy, good-looking boy, okay, with a sparkle in his eyes. As soon as David came, the Lord told Samuel, he's the one. Get up and pour olive oil on his head. You see, if we look at verse at 1 Samuel 17, verse 20, it actually says, David obeyed. I'm just going to stop there. I'm not going to get into detail, but it says, David obeyed. You see, when we compare these two kings that were both called by God, they were both called. Saul was called and David was called. You see, but Saul was filled by the praises of people. But David was filled by glorifying God. David was filled by worshiping God. David was filled by... David understood that it wasn't about him, but it was actually about God. So, I'm gonna... Whoa, time is flying, guys. Wow. Vern, how did you do this? You see, comparison steals identity. See, Saul was filled by something that was inconsistent. Saul was filled by people. You see, when you look for your identity in people, this is what it's like. It's like this, basically. Yeah, Nike is on the 1 week. You know, everyone's loving Nike. Ew, Nike's the thing. Cool, then a week later, no, Adidas is the thing. Did you see those new Adidas shoes? All right, okay, and then a week later, what is it, the Kardashians? The Kardashians are the new thing. Everyone's talking about them. You see, and what we try and do when we compare ourselves is we try and fill in and fit into all these different identities, and we take on all these different things. And then 5, 20, 30 years later, you're going to turn around and you're going to realize, I actually don't know who I am. I've lost my identity while collecting all these different other identities. And actually, funny enough, I was going through my sermon earlier on today. I actually saw this quote by Stephen Furtick. He says, have we treated and recreated our identity so many times that the original is beyond recognition, even to ourselves? What identity are you taking on? You see, if you look for your identity in the world is inconsistent. You'll never truly know who you are. And I love what Vern said. He touched on consistency. We need to be consistent. Not in social media, but we actually need to be consistent in the Word. We need to be consistent in the Word of God. And actually, if we turn to Genesis 1:27, here it is. If you're looking for your identity, if you're struggling to know who you are, if you're struggling, and I was going to touch on about how I struggled as I grew up without a father, and I was really going to touch on how I struggled with that. But actually, it's all in here. And it's in one simple verse in Genesis, in the beginning. It says, so God created humans to be like Drake. So God created humans to be like Elon Musk. So God created humans to be like himself. He made man and woman. Okay, and I am out of time. But basically, to wrap everything up, that is actually a cool sound, I'm not gonna lie. To wrap everything up, where are you looking for your identity? Are you looking for your identity in a place of inconsistency? And I want to encourage you guys, all these things that we see on social media, WhatsApp statuses are the worst, guys. Like, honestly, because it's right, everyone's on WhatsApp. That's the worst thing. Instagram, you can avoid all of that. But WhatsApp's the worst. Anyways, but we need to find our identity in the Word. We need to stop comparing ourselves, and we need to look for our identity in God's Word. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. 6 p.m. How are you doing? Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the house, online, in the overflow. Such a privilege to speak to you guys tonight. I'm so honored. Thank you, Andre. I really want to honor Andre and Leanne for being such great leaders. You guys are really awesome. We're so privileged to have you guys for everything that you do for us. I really want to honor you. And Sabs, Verna, thank you guys for sharing the Word of God tonight. So much wisdom You guys can take your seats. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we have today, tonight, to share your word. We recognize you that you are our ultimate Father, God. We want to thank you, God, for sending your one and only Son, Jesus, to die for us on the cross. And Father, I pray that tonight you'd open our ears to hear and you soften our hearts, God, so that we receive your word in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. 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 I'm just going to jump straight into it because I don't want to go over time. But yeah, I've got so much to say. I don't know how one can just compress a message into 8 minutes, but I'm going to try my best. So yeah, we're talking about this whole thing of comparing ourselves. And I believe all of us at one point have compared ourselves with somebody else. I think it's just a natural inclination that we humans have to just compare ourselves with other people. It doesn't matter what age, what status, it doesn't matter what stage of life you're at, whether you're married, single, even a child, you just start comparing yourself with other people. And with the rise of social media, it's just gone another whole level. It's just been highlighted to another level because there's a rating on it. You can rate yourself on how good you are with the number of followers, the likes, the comments. So it's just gone another level. And yeah, Sub said, there's always good and bad. There's always good and bad. There's nothing wrong for you to become better. But when you start comparing yourself with other people, that's when the dangers come. So you run into a danger, there's so many things that happen when you start comparing yourself to other people. So I'm just going to go through quickly just 3 points that I've noted that can happen once you start comparing yourself with other people. And I'm just speaking to myself as well, like I'm preaching to myself here. I can just calm down and take some notes. But I want, because I have to say this, I'm just speaking to myself. I've fallen into this, being a dad. I'm a father of two little girls, my beautiful girls, married to Lumka, my beautiful wife. So becoming a dad, I think I've realized this more and more that, you know, you just fall into that trap. And more of you will know our first daughter. She was very quiet, like very, very, very quiet. And, you know, being a dad, like my Gugu was my best friend. I would go to Gugu. You know, when you're a dad, you want to know how your child is doing at every stage. You go to Gugu, like walking, what age does a baby start walking? You know, you Gugu all those kind of things. And every time, you know what, like, I was like, what's wrong with this child? You know, she's below average. Like, you know, so I was comparing my daughter with what people think, what people say, but I was disappointed. So it's just a natural desire, and it all goes back to the beginning. Eve was deceived because she listened to the wrong voice. Eve was deceived because she listened to the serpent, to the devil. But she was already made in the image of God. She wanted to become better. She wanted to become somebody else. So she was deceived. So often we become deceived when we compare ourselves with other people. Andrew said it, the quickest way to lose your identity is when you have a greater fear of pleasing man than pleasing God. So we lose our identity. I think Sabs also mentioned it. We lose our identity when we start listening to other voices. So your desire to become better must never violate God's design. You were designed in God's image. So we always say it. That's one of our values here at View Church. We always want to make it better. But our desire to make it better mustn't violate God's design. First Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. So We must know our identity in Jesus, in Christ. The second thing is that comparison will steal your purpose through distraction. So if the enemy can't deceive you, he'll distract you from your purposes. And we are all made for a purpose. God created each and every one of us with a purpose, with a purpose, and that purpose is eternal. It's not temporal. It's an eternal purpose. So if you don't find that purpose, you'll be distracted. You will be distracted from your purpose. And I do believe that our ultimate purpose as human beings is to worship God. Who believes that? Our ultimate purpose is to worship the Creator, is to worship the one who made us in His own image. But if you don't know that, you're going to be distracted. You're going to spend all your time with the things that are temporal. You're going to spend all your time on social media instead of investing your time into things that are eternal. You're going to spend all your money trying to please people that you don't even know. You get into debt buying the things that you don't even need, trying to please other people. And you end up in debt, trying to fit in, trying to, you know, to make it up. And then you lose your purpose. Your talent, your gift is to serve God, is to be used to serve and worship God. But if you start using your gift to please other people or to try to say to make yourself as if you are better, then you're going to lose your purpose. John 10:10, the thief only comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Mark 8:36, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? What can anyone give in exchange of their soul? So we can never use what God has given us for things that are temporal, because we can lose our soul. I see my time is going out already. The very last point that I want, it's not the last point, but the last thought on some of the dangers that we can fall into is that we lose our joy because we become disappointed. Guys, you can never be better. We can never be better than somebody else. There's always somebody that is smarter. There's always somebody, as Andre said it this morning, there's always somebody that is better. So you'll be disappointed and then you lose your joy. John 15:11, Jesus said to these disciples, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. If your joy is not complete, if you realize that your joy is not complete, you may have listened to a wrong voice. You may have allowed something to be in the way of your joy, because Jesus wants our joy to be full. And in Hebrews 12:2, say, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Joy is such a priceless commodity that Jesus had to endure the cross so that he can have the joy. I don't know what's in your way. I don't know what's in the way of your joy. I don't know what you need to sacrifice. I don't know what you need to. For some of us, it might be social media. You might need to get off completely social media so that you get the joy. Maybe you might need to cut off some time, you know, and invest your time, your talent and treasure in the eternal things so that you can have your joy. And then quickly, as I wrap up, how do we overcome the pressure? The pressure of comparison. Stay grateful, first thing. Be grateful for what God has given you. We need to be content. We need to be content. And the way you stay grateful is to express that gratitude through thanksgiving. Every single morning, thank God for the time, for the day that He has given you. Be grateful for what He has given you. Even the little thing, just be grateful. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the time. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for everything that He has given you. Stay grateful. Number two, discover your purpose. I think, if you don't discover your purpose, you'll be distracted from it. Discover every first Tuesday of every month, growth track. That's when you get to discover your purpose. And then you start to make a difference with people who want to make a difference. Number three, invest meaning in meaningful relationships. I think Verna said it very well. I think when you begin to do that, you cut off from the relationships that take away from your joy, that takes away from your purpose, your identity. Invest in meaningful relationships. If you're not in a view group, guys, I think I'll give you that opportunity to have FOMO. You must have that fear of missing out. You're really missing out. You're really missing. Find a view group. That's where you get to meet people with who you're gonna grow. You're gonna be challenged. You're gonna become vulnerable. And you can be real. You know, that's where you see the real stuff. Number four, the last one, embrace healthy spiritual habits. Andre mentioned it, pray every day. Pray, that's a healthy spiritual habit. Just talk to God, it's not difficult, simple. You don't have to be religious. Just talk to God about what's going on inside of you. Just tell God, I've been deceived. You know, sometimes, you know, we can't be deceived. No one is you know, we all can be deceived. So just tell him, God, I've been deceived, I've been distracted, I'm disappointed, help me. Talk to God, very simple. Pray, read your Bible every day. That's where he begins to speak to you. That's where you hear the voice of God to tell you what your purpose is. Read your Bible, it's all in there. Fasting, we're going to have another fast in this July. Why didn't you fast social media? Why didn't you fast the thing that is distracting you from your purpose? Just give it a go. Just try it. Why don't you fast that thing that is taking away from your purpose, that is taking away your joy? Attend church regularly. We, you know, just come to church every day, every Sunday, or every day if you want. But yeah, just attend church regularly. That's where you meet people that believe the same with you and who want to help you on a journey to become better. We can all become better, but in God's will. We can all become better following God's purpose for our lives, to please Him, to glorify Him. So tonight, I don't know, maybe you are the one who's saying, well, it's a natural way, like we naturally inclined to compare ourselves. I'm naturally inclined to compare myself to other people. I can't help it. It just happens. I'm in a circle. You find yourself circling on the same point. You're comparing yourself with other people. You're saying, I've been deceived. I can't help it. I've been distracted. I've been disappointed. You might be disappointed right now. But I want to tell you tonight, there's a kingdom culture where you got to be celebrated for who you are without stumbling over who you're not. There's a kingdom culture that where you get to find your purpose, you get to find your real identity. You don't have to fake it anymore. You don't have to fit in. You don't have to try harder. There's a kingdom culture where you have to grow. So I want to invite you, if that's you tonight, I'm going to ask with all eyes closed, heads bowed, I want to ask you, what is it that you're willing to sacrifice? What is it that you're willing to give up so that you can retain your joy again? What is it that you're willing to say, God, I'm here. I surrender myself completely to you so that I can have that full joy, so that I can make a difference with other people who want to make a difference. So I want to invite you to that kingdom. I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Just by showing your hand, just raise up your hand if that's you tonight. You're saying, I don't want to fit in anymore. You're saying, I don't want to continue going in the circle anymore. I don't want to try harder. Just raise your hand. If that's you online, you can just let us know if that's you. In the overflow, just raise your hand. I say, I want to give myself, my life to Jesus. I'm tired of doing things in my own strength. Church, would you please raise a hand? I just want to pray with you. Just take a moment. Take an inventory in your heart. Take an inventory. You might say, well, it wasn't my fault, I was deceived. Yes, you can be deceived, but there is a way tonight. You may have been distracted, but this is the time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. It gives you an opportunity. You might be disappointed tonight. I want you to go back home with that joy in your heart. One last time, one last call. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Cool. Church, shall we pray? Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and in need of salvation. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose again from the dead for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you for making me clean and covering me in your perfect righteousness. I receive you into my life as my Lord and Savior, and I choose to follow you and serve you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, let's honor Frank. Awesome. Excellent. This year, I just want to thank Vern, Sabella, Frank. I thought their messages were amazing. You guys all did so well. Come on, let's honor them. And I had a guy this weekend, on Saturday, ask me, you know, he doesn't come to our church, and he just said, how do you guys do it? Like, be the church, have all these services, and actually keep building it. And I said, listen, you know, we don't get it right all the time. You know what I mean? We're also learning on the go. But I said, one of the key things we have to be doing is you have to build people. Because as you build people, you build the church. That's how the church grows. You invest in people. And I just want to honor you guys. You guys are pictures of our growth and our health. You guys, if you guys are here as our leaders, then imagine where we can go, where the next generation can go. So I just want to honor you guys just for everything you've done, even putting into tonight. Just, yeah, your messages, they're so healthy, they're so life-giving. And just, if people can become more like you guys, our future's so bright. Because what's been caught from them in their hearts and their lives is going to make a greater impact than what's been said. But what's been said, there's been an overflow. So we honor you guys. Listen, we are ending the service now. Remember the dad competition. You can take a photo in our photo booth to enter our lookalike competition, or you can just take a photo at home and write hashtag View Church Father's Day. View Church Father's Day, and you enter our comp. It's a great prize. Pray with us. Tomorrow we're looking at another venue on the Atlantic seaboard for church. And it's potentially a phenomenal venue. And it would be our next step in planting a church. So let's quickly pray. God, I just lift up tomorrow's meeting as we look at that venue. I pray for your favor as we're trusting to be your light in the city of Cape Town, to plant more churches, to bring more life into the city. Will you anoint us? Will you show us favor? Will you open doors that no man can shut? In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Have an awesome Sunday. Don't forget to join us next week. We've got space inside and outside. It's going to be a party.